How would you describe a godly home? Now think about that for a minute. I didn't just say a good home, because you know there are a lot of good homes that aren't necessarily godly homes. You know, oftentimes people will sit back and say, hey, you know, I had a great childhood growing up. My family was great. And they didn't have any spiritual influence in their life whatsoever. So, you know, think about that question as you answer it. How would you describe a godly home? Not just a good home. See, most godly homes are good homes. Now, I know that there are some exceptions to the rule on that. But as you think about that, and as you think about what it was like when you were growing up and your home life, and even as you think about what your home life is now, would that be considered a godly home? Now, as you consider that, if you were privileged enough to grow up in a godly home, think about the blessings that came from having a godly home. You know, think about what your childhood was like. Think about what it did to prepare you for adulthood. So today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the blessings of a godly home from the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Grab your Bible. Come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust and pray that you're doing well and that your week is going good. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at the blessings of a godly home out of the book of Proverbs chapter 31. So if you've got your Bible, and I pray you do, go ahead and turn on over there. And as you look at these passages, some folks are going to say, well, these are familiar passages, and I'm not sure exactly where you're going with that. In fact, some of you probably thought Proverbs 31. You know, oftentimes you'll hear that when it comes down to the godly woman, which you're absolutely correct. But there's a lot of other things in there that go on that talk about the home, because it mentions not only the wife, but the husband. It also mentions the children. So let's take a look at our passage for today, Proverbs chapter 31, and we're actually going to begin reading at verse 23. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to gather around your word today. Lord, we thank you so much that many of us were blessed to be able to be raised in a godly home, not just a good home, but a godly home. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts through your word today. Father, I pray that that if we see there's error of our ways, as you convict our hearts, that we would move in the direction of reconciliation with all that you have placed upon us. So Lord, bless our time. Give us insight. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today. And Lord, may you use this, your servant, as the for these moments, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Yeah, today, as we look at our text, the book of Proverbs it closes with wisdom about a godly woman and the blessings of a godly home. Now, though the main focus of this particular passage is on the godly woman, the writer touches on all aspects of a godly home. Now, you know, think about what does the writer say about the man of a godly home, and what does this imply? Let's look at verse 23 for just a second. That's Proverbs 31, verse 23. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates, yet when he sits among the elders of the land." So this is a man who has some influence. People know who he is. They know what his walk is like. They know what his talk is like. And folks, let me tell you right now, you have influence regardless. Dads of the home, you have influence. People are looking at you. People are looking upon you. They're looking to see how you carry yourself. They're looking to see, you know, how you raise your family. They're looking to see what takes place and what goes on. They look to see if you are a person of integrity, not only in the workplace, but in public, in the community. And are you that man of integrity when it comes down to being in your household? Now, it is extremely important for a man to be the godly leader of his home. You know, God placed that throughout his word. You know, he placed him as the leader of his home. And folks, I want to tell you right now, when you look at society today, it doesn't seem like this is taking place. It seems like it's every man for himself. Dads, you have a tremendous responsibility. This would be a great passage actually to preach on Father's Day, because dads, we are required to be the leader of our household. And so many people today just say, oh, well, I'm just not going to do that. Or if I look the other way, it's going to go away. No, it does not. And let me tell you this. People are watching how you carry yourself, what you do. You know, they look at you out in the community and they say that, you know, if you are the same way in your household that you are in the community, then maybe you're not a good leader. They're looking and saying, what are your marks of integrity? Are those things that that are part of your household? They look at how you raise your children. They see these things. And they look to see whether or not you are raising that family in a godly fashion. Now, dads, let me tell you, just plain and simple, this is about as simple as it gets. God has placed you as the head of your household. Now, that doesn't mean to lord over your wife and your children. That is not what that means. But it does mean to lead them down the godly path. Yeah, are you doing that? Or are you just saying, oh, well, that's up to somebody else? I see it every day. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to let the school raise my children, or I'm going to let the school teach them about the birds and the bees and about godly things, because that's just too much for me to do. Folks, stop letting society raise your children. You know, dad particularly, you are the head of your household. You know, take charge of that. Now, that again, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be some sort of tyrant to your family, to your wife and your children. I want to make sure that I'm very clear on that, because there's a lot of women that that don't like to hear that. You know, they don't like to say, well, I'm, you know, submissive. I'm supposed to be submissive to my husband. The answer to that is yes, because that's what the word says. It says, you know, may the, you know, the woman be submissive to her husband. So, dad, that puts a lot of responsibility, you know, on your shoulders. Now think about it. In what ways should a man demonstrate godly leadership in his home? Now, think about that for just a moment. You know, how you lead your children, the things that you do in your family. You know, the things that you do in private tell a lot about who you really are when it comes down to who you are in public. You know, so how does a man demonstrate godly leadership in his home? You know, are you the father that sees to it that your children and your spouse are in the house of the Lord? Do you lead them in a godly fashion? Do you have prayer time with them? You know, do you return thanks? Is being a godly person really a part of your life in your home? Or is it just something that you do on Sunday morning when you go to church, if you even do that? I hope and pray that that's not the case. I hope and pray that you are a representative of our Lord in your home. And that's one of the ways that you can demonstrate godly leadership. That's in the home. Well, what about in the church? How do you demonstrate godly leadership in the church? You know, do you step up and use the talents and abilities that God has given you in your church family? Are you an active person, or are you a spectator? Yeah, you know, I preached a sermon on that before. You know, are you a participator, or are you a spectator? You know, it seems like today, you know, folks have the idea that church is about what's in it for me. It's all in it for me. And if you don't have something for me, then why should I be here? Well, church is just as much about what you can give as what you can get. So the thing about it is, are you exercising those godly talents that you have been given, and are you stepping up and exercising them through your local church? Well, how about your community? When people look at you, are you demonstrating godly leadership within your community? Are you the same in the community as you are in the church house or in your home? Or do people see you as three different people? One person at home, one person at church, and then another person in the community. Well, let me say it like this. If you are, then I will promise you that people know that people see that. You know, a godly person is a godly person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It shouldn't vary between church, home, and community. You know, are you the godly leader, man of your house that you should be? There's probably going to be a lot of conviction when it comes down to answering that question, because there are many people who are actively involved in church and maybe even actively involved in their community that are really not doing such a good job when it comes down to home. Let me give you an example of a biblical character. You know, most of us know King David. We've heard the story of David and Goliath. We've heard all the wonderful things that David had done. But David, you know, although he was a great leader, he had a little bit of, he had some problems in the daddy area. He wasn't such a great daddy when it came down to his son Absalom. You know, if you don't think about it, go back through and read that. You know, he wasn't the father that he should have been, you know, to Absalom, and that created some major issues. There was a lot of moral nuclear waste floating around in his family situation. Don't be that person. Listen, if God is convicting you of that today, then take steps. You know, seek Him. Find what it is that He wants you to do to make changes in those particular areas. So, you know, when we think about that, what happens when a man neglects this responsibility, the responsibility of being a godly leader? Well, somebody is going to lead your children. Somebody is even going to lead your spouse if you allow them to do it. If you don't do it, somebody else will. Oftentimes in our society today, what we see is that if dad is not being the godly leader in the home, then mom is stepping up to do that. You know, when dad is not doing that, he is not being a proper influence on his sons or his daughters. Okay? And people would say, well, how do you say that? Well, you know, if dad's not being the godly example that he needs to be, that's what you're showing your son he should do. You know, and that's not what you want. You know, you shouldn't want that. You should want them to be a good godly leader within their home. So the question is, you know, what example are you being to your sons, dads? Then let me ask you this. Dad, you're also, you know, are you being a good godly example to your daughters? You know, are you teaching them, both sons and daughters, how a godly man should treat his wife, how a godly household should run based on the Word of God? You know, here are some things that are seen all the time, you know, each and every day. Listen, everybody is not perfect when it comes down to these type situations. There's always room for improvement, but where do you stand when it comes down to that? Dad, you know, what does it look like for you today? If you neglect these responsibilities, then you are setting a course and you are setting a pattern for the future that's not a good one. It's an ungodly one. It doesn't have to do with the spiritual things that we should be. Now, I've said that. It's not just in that area. That's in so many areas of your life. Let me just state it like this. You know, particularly when it comes down to dads. Listen, if spiritual things are not important to you, and if your children don't see spiritual things as important to you, such as prayer, such as Bible study, such as church attendance, such as, you know, being a person of integrity within the world, if those things are not important to you, they are not going to be important to your children. You know, if other things take place, if ball games take place, if all these other things take place of you know, godly worship, whether it's in the home church or in the community, then you have set a precedent. It's not going to be important to your children. So then what happens is when they're adults and you sit back and say, well, I wonder why spiritual things don't mean anything to them. Well, what kind of an example did you give them along the way as to how important it was? So I earnestly pray that you will consider those things. Dads, do not neglect your responsibilities, your God-given responsibilities when it comes down to your family, okay? Now, as we go on, we read about this text. The writer also says some things about the woman of a godly home, and there are certain things that are listed. Look with me at verses 24 through 27. It says this. It says, she makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And when you start to look at these particular things, this is just chock full of godly wisdom, you know, for mothers. It talks about how when you go back and look at it, it says that she is a provider. You know, if you go back, she makes linen and garments and she sells them. In other words, she is busy trying to do what she can do to enhance the family along the way, to make sure that the household is running smoothly. It says strength and honor are her clothing. Very strong woman in raising her children. She shall rejoice in time to come. And I'll come back to that verse in just a moment. But it says she opens her mouth with wisdom. You know, she's got the wisdom to be able to bestow upon the children, you know, whether it's by and through example, hopefully a good godly example. That's what we're talking about there. And it says on her tongue is the law of kindness. And she does so in such a manner and in such a fashion that it is not abrasive. It doesn't lead people to anger. It doesn't lead people to go from, you know, zero to knock the top out of the thermometer. She doesn't interrogate her children, but she does these things with kindness. It says she watches over the ways of her household. She is a good housekeeper. Now, and that's not necessarily just in keeping things clean, but it's keeping things in order. It's keeping the house running smoothly. If you have ever been a housewife, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That is a job in and of itself. You know, keeping the laundry clean for the family and keeping the dishes done. And don't get me wrong, that's not to say that dad shouldn't help with these things, because obviously he can. But these are things that that mom usually does as the nurturing, caring one of the family. Now, I'm not saying dad's not nurturing and caring as well, but, you know, it's kind of like that old expression, if the kids want to play ball, they go call daddy. If they get hurt, they run to mama, because mom is nurturing, okay? It says that she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. That's saying that she's not lazy. You know, she is one who is busy about, you know, the home, making and creating such a wonderful and a fabulous place for her family. And that's why she's doing that, to create that place of a stronghold, for lack of a better word, a spiritual stronghold, an emotional stronghold, a physical stronghold for those whom she loves. Now, you know, it says, and if you look at verse 25 in a different translation, it says she laughs at the time to come, and in our translation, it says she rejoices in time to come. Now, when you consider that, in other words, she's not worrying about what's going to happen in the future. She's taking it one day at a time as God leads, and what a blessing that is. You know, I love that thing. And as you get older, one of the things that you start to realize is that you need to learn how to live for today, because tomorrow isn't promised. Make the best of today. Okay. Now, there are all kinds of differences that a godly woman can make when she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's what verse 26 says. All kinds of differences can be made. Because, you know, sometimes you go and maybe you might be going to seeking wisdom from mom, and mom doesn't always give you the answer that you want. Most often it is done with wisdom. It's like, hey, before you start going off the rails, you know, and going off the reservation, let's stop and let's think about this for a minute. And moms tend to have a way of being able to talk somebody into the reality of godliness along the way. Now, when I say the reality of godliness, because, man, we're quick to snap. And we're like, oh, okay, well, I want to go do this, and this is what I think I'm going to do. And then sometimes mom has this way of being able to talk us down and calm us down with words of wisdom, as are mentioned in verse 26. Now, you think about, you know, what happens when a woman neglects this responsibility, when she doesn't give words of wisdom, and when she takes an attitude of temperament that is less than stellar, and then all of a sudden she's like, well, I think you should do it this way, and it's an ungodly way, and she's leading her children down that path. Folks, like I've said before, what you're doing, everything that you do along the way is setting a precedent for how your children are going to do them later on down the road. You know, and that is in every area of your life. Your children are a little version of you, and what they see, how they see you act, what they see you do, how they see you react, how they see you talk, it's going to be the pattern for their life. I've said that to people before, and they say, well, boy, I'll tell you one thing, that scares me. Well, it ought to help us to understand the things that we do are being witnessed by those who not only are witnessing them, but are going to pattern their life by them. So, you know, you want your kids to understand what a godly marriage should look like. Well, you have to model that in front of them. You need to show them what it's like to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just on Sunday at church, or not just at this moment in time in the home. You know, you need to be the person that's leading your family in godly directions. You know, do you do a Bible study with them? Do you have a devotional time? Are you pointing them in that direction? And so many times when I've preached a message like this, and somebody says, well, I'm not doing that, and I really need to start it, but it feels really uncomfortable. It's going to feel uncomfortable. Satan doesn't want it to feel comfortable to you when you do the right thing. But I will guarantee you this, and I will promise you this, it will make a difference in the lives of your children. And just a few years, see, you only have a few years with them for them to pick up these traits, the good and godly traits. And then after that, what you're going to see is you're going to witness them living their life in what they've learned under your tutelage at home. You only have a few years. You don't want to be that person saying, why are my children in their 20s not interested in spiritual things? Well, was it important enough to you when they were children and teenagers to make sure that they had the opportunity to be in the presence of those things? Or were other things more important? Remember, they are going to model exactly what they have witnessed you do. So it's critical that both moms and dads, men and women, embrace their God-given responsibilities and not neglect them when it comes down to raising the family. Now, you know, the writer also says some things about the children of a godly home. And look at verse 28 with me. Verse 28 says this. It says, her children, and of course this is talking about mom at this particular point, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Yeah. So what's going on is you see a godly woman who is looked highly upon by her children. She is praised by her children. She is praised by her husband. They lift her up and they say, that's what mom should be. Okay. When your children look at you both, and I'm saying this to both moms and dads, do they see a good godly witness in the home? You know, when they look at you, do they praise you? Now, that doesn't mean, hey, listen, there's times when you have to correct them. There are times that there are things that they don't understand. There are going to be times when the furthest thing that they're going to want to do is praise you. But they're going to find out later on in life that you were right. I'm not talking about those instances. I'm talking about as a general rule. Do you have the respect of your children, or do they run all over you? You look in society today, and it seems like the children run the home. The children are telling moms and dads what to do. I saw a meme not long ago, and it said, Yeah, this is what happened. This is what I looked like after I talked back to my mom and dad when I was growing up. And it showed a picture of Rocky and one of the Rocky things. And his face was all mangled up. But just trust me, I've had the Board of Education applied to the seat of my learning. And there's a lot of children today in society that need exactly that. Mom and dad, you need to be the person that is in charge of your household. And if you're not, then you need to work on taking that back today. Starting right now. You need to lead your children down the godly paths. And it's so much easier when you start when they're younger and you maintain, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but when you maintain a good godly presence in your home, in your church, and in the community with your family, okay? You know, when sons and daughters are raised in a godly home, it is important for them to honor and to respect their parents, and they will do that. That doesn't mean that they'll always be happy with you when you have to correct them or when you have to put them on the right path, but they will respect you for that, and they will understand the importance of it. If not then, maybe later on. And surely what's going to happen is you will find that they will take to those things, that godly rearing that they have, and then when it comes time for them to have children, they will express those qualities within their children as they raise them. And there'll be those times when you'll say, hey, remember when you didn't like this? And then they'll sit there and they'll go, hey, I've become just like you. Well, that's a good thing, providing you've raised them in a good godly home with good godly influence, okay? Now, the writer also talks about charm and beauty down in verse 30. Let's pick that up. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, I think that's important because, you know, women, and I think they should, all of us should do, you know, what we can to make sure that our physical appearance is good. I mean, obviously, we want to take enough pride in ourselves, healthy pride in ourselves, that we want to look good. I think wives should want to look good for their husbands, and husbands, you should want to look good for your wife as well. So, you know, when it comes down to these things, they are things that should not be first and foremost. You know, what is it that the Bible tells us about vanity? It says, vanity is in vain. And so many times what happens, and I've seen it, listen, I can name some people that when it comes down to the attribute of beauty, that is everything in their life. You know, even family comes second. It's all about them trying to take care of themselves. And what is it that we read in verse 30? Let's go back there again. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. You know, age is going to do some things to you. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, I just want to mention this before we move on past physical attributes. Think about it. In what ways does one's physical attributes and appearance confront us with an attitude to change? You know, are we so prideful and so vain that our appearance has become a god, that we've put it in front of God? Is it something that we need to work on? Remember, we've said as we go through the scriptures that one of the things that we do is we look for attitudes to change within ourselves. Has the Holy Spirit prompted your heart with an attitude to change when it comes down to your physical appearance and how you rate that in your life? But the writer says that who should be praised in verse 30? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The one who fears the Lord shall be praised. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. What does it mean to fear the Lord? I mean, that doesn't mean to be scared of him. What it means is to reverence and to honor him, to go by what he says, to live your life in such a fashion as to what the word tells us to do. Obviously, I don't think the Lord wants us to go around being scared. Now, sometimes you should be. If you're walking in dangerous territory, you might need to be a little scared of the Lord. But this fear of the Lord is talking about a reverence of the Lord. Okay. Now, you know, as we look at Matthew, you don't have to look there. I'm going to take you there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 tell us this. It says, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, I want you to consider that particular story for a minute. How does the wise man in this particular passage of Scripture reflect a healthy fear of the Lord? It says that he built his house upon the rock, the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of who the Lord is. And folks, when you do that, when the storms of life come, you have a chance. Your house will be built upon the rock, the immovable rock, Christ the rock. Okay. Whereas if you don't, if you're going along with the world standards and everything else, you are like the foolish man who disrespects the Lord, who builds his house upon the sand. And everybody knows how shifting sand is. It moves at the slightest notion. Okay. And when the storms of life come, the sand will shift and your house will fall. And the Word said, and great will be that fall. Okay, there's a huge difference between the two. One will stand and one will not. It's plain and simple. To be the wise man and to build upon the rock is to reflect a healthy fear of our Lord. A healthy fear. Remember, a healthy reverence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. In what ways do you personally reflect a healthy fear of the Lord? You know, when I ask you that question, what does that mean? Remember what we said, I'm talking about a reverence. In what way do you, in your life, in your walk, in your household, in your church, in your community, reflect a healthy fear or reverence of the Lord? You know, today, I think our prayer today and every day as we go forward should be that we fear the Lord and that we build up godly homes, because it is truly, truly critical. Okay. Now, let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be, and then we'll kind of wrap it up for the day. Again, I thank you for joining us. But our Bible readings for this week will be Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Through Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Once again, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 1 through Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And next week we will be discussing Chasing After the Wind from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verses 1 through 17. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time, and Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be called husbands and wives. Lord, the privilege to be called children. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways with family. And I pray, Lord, that we would look and evaluate as to whether or not we are raising those families in ways that would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, I pray that dads would truly be the spiritual leaders of their home. I pray that moms would be the nurturing ones that meet the criteria that we see here over in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. And Lord, I pray that children would truly honor their parents as they follow good, godly examples. Lord, if there's error in our ways, whether as parents, as children, whatever it may be, when it comes down to family, I pray that through the conviction of our heart today, that you would turn us in the right direction. Lord, that we would begin to head in the right direction, that we would see families turn around, that we would see dads turn around and moms turn around and children turn around and turn straight to you in godliness, that their futures may be bright, that the examples they set would be a reverent fear of you, and that they may pass these traits along for generations to come. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every family, protect them and watch over them as only you can. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, listen, thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. We're so glad that you chose to be with us today. I pray that God has spoken to your heart. As always, if you don't have a church home and you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love for you to come visit with us. Our services start at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. I hope and pray that we will see you soon. Have a great week. May you be a blessing to somebody, and may somebody be a blessing to you this week in godliness. God bless you. Have a great week.